Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
All right, we begin hour two with something you always want to avoid. You always want to be prepared when you go in front of a mic. Sometimes, you know, we do this here and things pop up that you're not exactly looking for. So you get caught off guard. But there's really no excuse for what we're about to hear. Deshaun Foster, he's a new head coach at UCLA. Chip Kelly is now the OC at Ohio State. We'll get to Ohio State a little bit later in the segment. But Deshaun Foster, UCLA legend, I guess. I mean, it's very hard to talk about legends in UCLA football. I mean, you got Aikman, you got Beeben, some Cade McNown stuff. Deshaun Foster certainly crossed over Cade McNown. But he was a big-time back at one point, played in the NFL for a bit, and now he's a coach. And I'm not sure his introduction to the Big Ten went the way he wanted to or what UCLA wanted or how UCLA wanted it to go. Here's Deshaun Foster as he's walking up to the podium for his introductory press conference to Big Ten media.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. Glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in L.A., it's us and USC. I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
In a second.
The tone would suggest you weren't that excited. Your tone, even beyond the pauses, beyond the lack of information, your tone suggests not that excited about being there. And maybe it's just nervousness. You know, I heard that already. We played it earlier in the day. I had a thing when I was a kid in class, when I knew someone was going to say something that was dumb, I would, and you know, in class, you can't take your headphones off and not listen, because I was tempted to do that there because I had heard it already. I used to like put both hands over an ear and go and just put my hands on my ears, just rub my ears and try to avoid making it look like I was blocking out what they're saying. I wanted to revert back to when I was 12. That's how uncomfortable that thing was making me.
When you're doing the reading, the like whatever, the one kid reads like a paragraph,
yeah,
and it gets to that kid where you're like,
oh,
this
no.
is brutal.
Yeah, that, or I know some kid is going to get lost in his answer when the teacher asks a question. I would just go, oh, hands over the ears.
That's so disrespectful.
I know. It was out of me being so uncomfortable with what was going on.
Also, just how early, if I was able to see you and how early you did it, I would also lose it. Johnny.
Oh, no. No, it wasn't this quick, dramatic, abrupt hands to the ears. It would be like this slow, up. Hands over ears. Oh, I'm just rubbing my ears.
He's losing me.
It's just me rubbing my ears because you know I'm itchy or something. And I would keep like a circular motion so it didn't just look like I'm just going hands on the ears so I can't hear them.
This BS. Yeah.
It just made me too uncomfortable. And it almost got to that point.
He really petered out.
Yeah.
He really petered out. He started off, it was all right.
It was fine at first.
I mean, you bring up school. It's like when you get called on to, like, make a presentation or to, like, hey, what is this book that you didn't read about?
And
you're like,
So
it's about a catcher and the rye.
And Holden Caulfield's in it. Yeah. You know some of the names. You know the premise, but...
And you know the author.
But that's about it. That's about it. And now you start to slow down and go, hey, like he said, I'm just really excited. You're like, yeah. it's a great book.
It's just a great book. He's one of America's best writers.
Yeah.
He's a hermit now.
Yeah. All the stuff you found out searching online as opposed to what's actually in the book. So that's the Sean Foster. Hey, being up at a podium or doesn't mean you're not going to be a good football coach. It's just your first impression to the Big Ten suggests you're not built for this. A team who's building, or at least is trying to build a super team to avoid losing to Michigan again, and frankly, they're just tired of not winning a title, is the Ohio State Buckeyes. Their roster, even just according to their own AD, Ross Bjork, their new AD, he's saying their roster, when you include NIL, and with the new rule that came out about revenue sharing, their roster is going to be upwards of $22 million, what it's going to cost for that roster. And he expects it to go up. And we know some of the guys who are on the roster, and if you don't, I'll let you know. Quinshon Judkins, who was the Ole Miss running back, is now there. Caleb Downs, the former Alabama safety, is there. They got Chip Kelly. They grabbed a sitting head coach who was employed to be their OC at a Power 5 program. They grabbed him. Now, some of that might have to do with, well, UCLA and their lack of resources and their lack of commitment. Maybe Chip Kelly was tired of doing the fundraising, being a head coach, and recruiting. Just wanted to call plays. A lot of factors came into play for that to happen. But that is an expensive roster. And we'll throw Will Howard in there, as much as I don't particularly think Will Howard's a floor raiser. He was their best option when we were talking about Devin Brown and other young quarterbacks on the roster. So we're at an AD announcing how much their roster costs. Generally, that's reserved for one of your rivals. They go, they're spending a lot of cash over there. But now everything's so open, it doesn't matter anymore. He can just tell you, our roster's going to cost over $20 million. That's what it takes to recruit them, to keep them, and then snipe them off the other roster. Wait for them to enter the transfer portal and then convince them to come play here. When really it's like most of those deals, particularly for the guys with the biggest names, are already done before they even announce they're going into the transfer portal. All I know, with Ross Bjork being so open about things, you better win, Ryan Day. Michigan doesn't have their head coach. That a lot of their roster's in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now's the time.
There's really not more pressure. Normally, I would say like this is a move by an AD really putting a lot of pressure on your coach, being like, "Hey, we got all the players for you. we're spending a lot of money on these players." .. If we fall short again, point the finger at the.
How much more do you want?
But in this situation, I actually don't think there could be any more pressure already on Ryan Day. So it's just like, this doesn't really matter. This is not adding pressure. This is just stating facts.
You've lost to Michigan 3 times in a row. They got their national title. And the way you lost to them, this last game was closer. But just the way, their physicality, their ability to run the ball down your throat, it's embarrassing. They don't want that. Here's a quote from Ross Bjork talking to Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports. In fact, the university is rich enough that its donor-led collective and brand affiliates dispersed to Buckeye football players around $20 million this past year. And in all likelihood, that figure ranks first in America. So they're letting – that's a recruiting tool too, by the way.
Yeah.
We're going to let everyone know we're going to spend cash. If you want to play here, come to Ohio State. You're going to get paid. Don't worry about it.
That's always the thing that gets me, like you said, when rivals do it. Recently, I guess they're not like on the field rivals, but Kirby Smart made comments about Oregon and Dan Lanning, where he was like, yeah, I wish we had Dan Lanning's budget for recruiting, and which is, A, clearly a call for
more money.
Yeah, Georgia boosters.
Pick it up.
Get your money right.
Yeah.
And it always gets brought up as a negative to me, like where you're, it seems like it's an attack. People take it as like an attack on the coach. To me, it's like if I was any team in the country, I'd be like, yes, tell everyone how much we pay players.
Yeah, it's really silly. Like they're still leaning into.
I want all the players out there to know if you want to get paid, come to my school.
Yeah, so they're still leading into like this moral upstanding sport where if money is exchanging hands, then it's bad. But no one's going to care about how expensive Ohio State's roster is if they win a title. Like you can slap them with, oh, they paid for the roster. You know what? They're the national champion, and they're on their way, and they're up 31-14 in the fourth quarter of the title game. No one's going to be like, oh, Kim. Like the announcers on television are like, oh, this is the best roster money can buy. They're not going to say that during the game. That's reserved for the message boards and the jealous fans. And Ohio State will comfort themselves with your tears when they're celebrating their national title. So I've never understood that. Yeah, go ahead. Tell everyone my team is willing to pay whatever it takes. Let everybody in the country know, especially those 17- or 18-year-olds. Let them all know.
It's only a problem when you lose.
Yes.
It
sets Ohio State up to be made fun of if they don't win, which we all will do.
But the stakes already can't be higher for that. Yeah. That's where Ohio State's in this weird position where the internal – even if you take away NIL, you take away the transfer portal, it's just a normal year, and Ohio State has lost three straight times to Michigan, all basically eliminating them from not only the playoff. I know they made the playoffs with C.J. Stroud, but it eliminates them from winning the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That situation already would put so much pressure on the sitting head coach for the Ohio State Buckeyes because they lost in 23, they lost in 22, they lost in 21. They didn't play in 20. So you're going back to 2019,
they haven't
last
beat
time
them.
Your fan base has seen you beat Michigan.
Exactly.
There's so much pressure on you already that even all the money stuff doesn't even add to it. In my mind, it doesn't even add to the pressure.
Yeah, Jim Tressel erases some of the memories for some people and maybe just younger people, but remember the name John Cooper. Back in the 90s, Ohio State, now they would drop a game to Michigan State to cost them the title. But John Cooper got fired because he couldn't beat Michigan. He was a winning head coach. Ohio State was always in a conversation for a Rose Bowl. Times were different. It wasn't always about the national title at that point. But in times when they were really good and had national title aspirations, Michigan would either get in the way of them winning the Big Ten or keep him out of the Rose Bowl, or in their undefeated season, and it cost John Cooper his job. Ryan Day, I mean, he's halfway there. Cooper hung around for like more than four straight years of losing to Michigan. But if they lose to Michigan again, in this era where all the money's being thrown around to keep a roster together, you can probably pack it up, Ryan Day. And that's crazy considering around the Michigan stuff, he's been a successful head coach. But you know what Jim Harbaugh said. Not all of us are born on third base because he took over from Urban Meyer.
I think his record is his record is something like 50-4 in the Big Ten, or it's like all of their losses are to Michigan.
Yeah, and that's just the way it is at Ohio State. So Sean made a great point. The internal pressure will exceed anything any of us are going to put on him for having an expensive roster. The reason the roster is so expensive is because of all the pressure. They want that trend to end with a title appearance. And now it just gets tougher in some ways because of how many games you now have to win. It's not just win a semifinal after winning the Big Ten and getting to the title game. Now you got a couple more games to go. And, you know, that's why making the playoff in the four-team format is the real accomplishment. Just listen to any Texas fan, including that one in there. Thomas, I see you. You want to talk about the Big Ten? Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We'll talk to Thomas and you guys when we get back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
welcome back. And I said we would do this, so let's do this now. Let's get to Thomas. Thomas wants to talk about the Big Ten. What's up?
Hey, Dale. Love the show. Yeah, I kind of hopped in the car late, so I'm not sure if you've touched on any of these, but a few like storylines that I was thinking in the Big Ten. Yeah, obviously Ryan Day, can he really live up with that roster? Seems like his hot seat just gets hot, no matter what he does. I mean, obviously losing to Michigan or whatever. But then I was interested in like these Pac-12 teams. You know, for years, I mean, going on these last few decades, the knock on them is we got, you know, fast athletes, but they don't have the size or depth. I thought Washington was a really, really good team last year, and they got spanked by Michigan. So I would have put Washington as, like, ready to be in the Big Ten, and they didn't show that in the national championship. So I'm interested to see, you know, the offense carried some of these teams the first few weeks and see how they can handle the big boys week in and week out once people start getting banged up. Last few things, I think I've got to watch Wisconsin and Nebraska, both of those coaches, you know, after a year of Big Ten, try to get their recruiting classes and transfers. I really have confidence in Luke Fickell and the guy from the Panthers and Baylor. And then last but not least, I don't know if I saw the sound mic correctly, but was Lincoln Riley scared of LSU and trying to undo that scheduled game or something? But yeah, I mean, those are my talking points. See if you had any comments, but I'll hang up and listen.
You know, the narrative around Lincoln Riley was he got out of Oklahoma because he didn't want to go to the SEC. I have to look about the LSU thing to make sure. I'm not sure about that one, but some of your other points with Wisconsin, Luke Fickell, is Tyler Van Dyke going to win that job? He transferred from Miami after the end of last season. He had a rough last year and a half in Miami. The injuries piled up, and he became a big gun shy. Couldn't read zone defenses. So let's see if Luke Fickell can rebuild him pretty much from the ground up, honestly. And can he win that job? Because he's a talented player, talented thrower of the football. It's just, you know, this show gets called Mopey and Mapes by the morning show. Tyler Van Dyke can get a little mopey. So I wouldn't call him a demonstrative leader. He's a guy who probably needs to get off to a good start really early. I don't know if fighting back from adversity is his thing. So if he does win that job, if he's the number one, watch him early in the year and see if he can get off to a good start. And Wisconsin may have a pretty good year because when he's good, he can be really good. Just don't expect a lot of bounce back. What else did he ask about? Oh, the Pac-12 schools getting to the Big Ten. Oregon's on the defensive line. They brought in a Michigan State transfer. I believe his name is Harmon. He's a big guy. On offense, their offensive line is going to be one of the best in the country. Now, to their skill position players, Evan Stewart, the former A&M receiver, is there now. Their receivers are going to be good. Their running backs were good, too, but they're not the big bruisers, as we heard from Thomas. Maybe a little smaller and faster. I don't think their offensive line is going to have any issues. It'll be a question of their defensive line with Jordan Burch, who's another big-time recruit out of South Carolina, transferred there, and Harmon out of Michigan State. So they've done a job of trying to get bigger and stronger. The depth will be the question, because those two can play anywhere in the country. The question will be after those guys. Washington was small. I mean, they could throw the football around, and you know, Texas found that out. But even their offensive line wasn't a big offensive line. They were skilled and talented, but they weren't maulers.
And all those guys went to the NFL.
Yeah, and all those guys are gone. So, you know, Will Rogers is there, the former Mississippi State coach. How do I pull that off the top of my head? Because I was playing with Washington yesterday in EA College Football. So I know that Will Rogers is there. So Washington's going to look a lot different, even beyond Michael Penix and all the receivers that they lost. I was like, hey, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, no Jalen Polk. Yeah. No Roma Dunze on this roster as I was playing with them.
None of the guys you remember from last year
yes.
are on the team.
Anymore. You're going to see an entire – yeah, well, the coach ain't there either. He's at Alabama.
True. So, it's just a brand-new team.
Yeah, overall. If you're thinking about Washington and what they did last year, don't. It's a almost completely different team. Some of their defenders have transferred out of there. It's a different ball club altogether.
You're probably going to get more of the Washington that you remember.
That you're used to. Not the one who set the last couple – years on fire with their offense. Not going to be the case this year. That's a team probably in a transition year that's hoping to stay maybe bowl eligible. Their schedule will determine a lot of that. I don't know about their non-conference. It may set up where they don't have to do a lot in the Big Ten. Oregon, that's a title contender. That's the one. USC, offensively, Miller Moss, good quarterback. Not Caleb Williams, but maybe he doesn't need to be. Maybe he'll take what is out there. One of Caleb Williams' criticisms, even from our own Lance Zierlein, was he would bypass like a six-yard open receiver to try to hold on the ball to make more happen. And we know Lincoln Riley didn't have any problems getting quarterbacks to play well. Defensively, he finally got away from Alex Grinch. We'll see how that plays out. I think USC is the team, if we're talking about teams beyond Washington, as far as the Pac-12 schools with prestige, because I'm not even going to count UCLA in this one, that's the team who's going to probably deal the most with being beat up because their defensive front's not great. It's only year three for Lincoln Riley, but which you might think would have set he would have set them up to be a better defensive team, but they're in a transition period with that too. They got to get bigger and tougher. They played to be a Pac-12 team. Now they gotta try to be a Big Ten team. Look, the Big Ten throws the football around, but still,
yeah,
the trenches are a thing for them.
I mean, they start the season like Thomas or
with LSU.
Thomas. Who's the caller?
Thomas. It was Thomas. Thomas.
Okay. Yeah, like he brought up with LSU, the game that Lincoln Riley was running from as fast as he could. and then, you know, they play Utah State. Then they get Michigan. Like, they jump straight to not just a test as far as one of the best teams in the Big Ten, one of the most physical teams in the entire country, obviously reigning champions, and it's in the Big House. So they really kind of get thrown into the fire on, what, September 21st. So you're going to learn a lot about what Miller Moss is all about and what that defense and that and honestly, in most September games, you're not thinking that the depth is going to get pushed. In that game, you might have to lean on your depth a little bit.
Yeah, you're going to get a full taste, no matter what the personnel is at Michigan, and the with the departure of Jim Harbaugh, Sharon Moore was an offensive line coach before he was an OC.
Yeah,
they're going to run the ball the same way Michigan always runs the ball, and they've done enough recruiting at least at those positions, running back and offensive line, where you're going to get a taste. It may not be bolstered by Roman Wilson and J.J. McCarthy, but their tight end Loveland's still there. He's a good player. You're going to get a taste of Michigan. They're going to run the ball the same way they always do and see if USC can stop it. They're probably not going to be able to stop it. Probably not.
Last we saw USC, they were 100% ill-equipped to stop it. They were letting anybody run all over them.
Yes.
Now you're getting the team that wants to run all over you the most. Your third game into a new DC.
Yeah.
Listen, he could be an awesome DC. Probably isn't going to have the guys.
What do they say? It's not the X's and O's. It's the
Jimmy's and Joe's.
Maybe we need to update the names. It rhymes, but we probably need to update the names.
I don't want to come up with the names. I'll let you come up.
I was trying to trick you into to using some names. Hey.
Nope.
The Raquans and
there
aren't a lot of Raquans in the NFL and in college football too. But Sean adeptly dances around it. Wasn't going to trick him into doing it. So we got a couple more segments to go, and when we come back, we're going to do a giveaway. If you're a hunter, this is for you. I'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you sat through the commercials, you might have heard the promo for this, but the 2024 Hunters Extravaganza is here. You can go see the newest in hunting products, clothing, rifles, knives, and more. The 2024 Hunters Extravaganza is August 2nd through the 4th, and we are giving away a pair of tickets right now at 713-780-3776. So caller 5 wins a pair of tickets to the Hunters Extravaganza. You can go one of those days between August 2nd and August 4th. Caller 5, 713-780-3776. And if you go on that Friday next week, you can see Gallant and George and the Killer Bees. They'll be broadcasting live from 12 to 6. The Hunters Extravaganza. A couple pair of tickets. We're going to be giving those away tomorrow as well. John and Lance will give those away too. So stay tuned. Got a chance to win tickets if you don't win them right now. I might have to extend it to like 8. We got a lot of callers quickly on that. I might have to make that number a little bit more next time, the next go around, just to give some other people a chance. Usually we use this for the Masters, a tradition like unlike any other, but it also applies to Lamar Jackson. He's sick again. I feel like this is the third or fourth straight off training camp where Lamar Jackson misses time because he's ill. The report is he didn't feel like himself. He looked weary, even just walking across the field and into the team's facility. He threw a little bit, but just wasn't himself. So Lamar Jackson, not great immune system, apparently. It's always right around this time. He's fine during the year. I don't remember him missing a lot of practice time because of illness. It's usually because of an injury, but it's what he does. He doesn't adapt well to being back at training camp. I understand it. If I could miss time at training camp, hot ass summer in Baltimore, I'd do that too. He should be fine because this always happens, but he's ill. And this comes off the back of a lot of talk from the Ravens about how they don't like the disrespect Lamar Jackson is getting. I think there was a comment about how their goal is to make him the best quarterback of all time. You better get to it. It's kind of hard to do that when one of his contemporaries already has won 3 Super Bowls. If you're in the mode of Lamar's going to be the best to ever do it, you can't lose to the current young GOAT on your home field just months ago with a chance at the Super Bowl. If Lamar wins one, it's a great accomplishment. Catching Patrick Mahomes at this point, I don't think that's happening. Now, quarterback shouldn't only be judged by Super Bowls. Your situation matters. But Lamar Jackson's in a really good situation. He plays for the Baltimore Ravens. And I think at this point, going forward, right or wrong, if Lamar Jackson doesn't win, it won't be the Ravens that get blamed. There's no question that they draft well. Now that they've given him his money, they're all in on him. Could we blame the lack of a star wide receiver for some of it? Sure. Who was it? Someone went on a rant earlier this summer about them drafting guys, and it's on Lamar for not making those players better. That could be considered fair, but they haven't drafted a receiver because they in the top five because they weren't in the position. The great wide receivers that have come along recently as far as young players, all in the top 10, except for Justin Jefferson. He's the outlier, but even he was a first rounder, and we know he was great at LSU, but he wasn't. He was a guy that the Eagles passed on for Jalen Reagor. So Lamar Jackson hasn't had one of those guys, a clear, no doubt about it, number one. But we're at a point where anything that happens where it doesn't go well for the Ravens will fall on him. We know the defense is great. The infrastructure for that team is great. They draft well. It's on Lamar Jackson. But he's sick right now. But he's always sick at this point of the year, so not a big concern, particularly this early in training camp. And
he's kind of sick all the time.
I know. You're on the phone, so you didn't hear it. He's always sick. He's always sick at this point of the year.
I feel like even during the season, he'll have an illness or be battling through an illness.
You know, I said that thinking, I said it's usually something that happens here, not through the year. But then as I kept talking, I kind of remembered.
There's I think it's a Monday night game.
It's like an all-the-time thing.
Yeah, there's a Monday night game where I remember because they kept showing him walking back and forth from the tunnel.
You're right.
And he was just having to use the restroom or throw up or something.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It did happen. The man's got a poor immune system, apparently. Yeah,
I don't know what the fix is to that, but I'd be looking into it. Take some vitamins.
I don't know, some airborne. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some preemptive airborne. Some
vitamins. I don't know. But he's not himself. And Todd Monken, they hired him last year. But he's the OC who was supposed to be brought in to change how the Ravens played offensive football with Lamar. Make them more of a a refined passing attack. He says they're going to work him back in. I know I'm being kind of a smart ass. You'll have to ask him how he feels, but he was great in meetings when we were on the field at the start of the practice. He said he was feeling good. Turns out he wasn't feeling that great. Lamar Jackson ill. And we have our winner. We will, as I said, we'll continue to give away the Hunter's Extravaganza tickets throughout the day and tomorrow on John and Lance and this show as well. Some other quarterback news. Tua participated in practice yesterday, did some 7-on-7 stuff as he awaits a contract. He did not practice today. He was out there. He was listening, but he did not practice in drills. I mean, this isn't to the extent of a hold-in like Brandon Ayuk, because Tua's actually making it on the field, Tua Tagovailoa. But he's another guy looking for a deal. We talked about it earlier. And today, which you might classify as a veteran's rest day, according to reports, he did not participate in drills as he awaits a deal. The cat and mouse stuff of I'm a good player, I want my money, I'm going to show you I'm upset by not practicing continues around the league. It is what it is. You don't want to get fined, but so you're there. You just don't participate. And for the most part, the coaches are okay with it because it's generally happening to guys who are established who don't need to really actually be practicing on July 25th. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say there also is an extra element to the fact that all these are holdouts with the guy still reporting, still being in meetings, still listening to the play calls, still on the sideline, just not participating. Where, you know, back in my day, when guys held out for a contract, you didn't know where they were. They could be anywhere.
Yeah, we didn't have social media to know. Just know they weren't at camp.
Yeah, so I do think that adds a level or throws some, like, cold water on the, like, camp holdout.
Yeah, it means less. You're like, definitely right.
The guy's still there.
He's there, and they're stars. Like, now, Trent Williams isn't there, but Trent Williams doesn't need to be out there. He probably wouldn't be practicing anyway today.
Yeah.
He probably would be sitting on the side anyway.
He'd have a lot of veteran days.
Yes. He's 36 years old. He'd have plenty. Just consider this another Veterans Day, except you get to find him
not
for this
veterans
one. Day. It's not Veterans Day. That's a completely different day. Consider this another Veteran Day where you could find him instead of giving him his money. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So I get players doing it, but it doesn't feel like it has the type of effect it used to. Because you're there. They can see you. They're not worried about it. And they'll get to you when you guys can come to an agreement, and then you'll be right back out there. So, but Lamar Jackson ill, as always. I it doesn't matter that he's ill. It matters that you didn't beat the Chiefs last year. That's what matters.
It especially doesn't. Of all the ailments that can keep you out of practice, I think being ill on July 25th is like, yeah, sure, dude.
Yeah.
Take as many days as you want. Don't get everyone else sick.
Actually, stay away from us.
The only way we have a problem is everyone gets sick.
Yes.
If one guy's sick, that's fine.
Even if it is the starting quarterback. You know, I would be much more concerned about Zay Flowers' ball security than I would be Lamar Jackson being ill.
Yeah.
Hey, can we practice you diving into the end zone and not fumbling? Can we? I don't know if we can practice that. We can throw the pad down. Let's do that a couple times. We'll hit you with the pad. You dive. You keep the ball.
Yeah.
You score a touchdown.
We'll have the
stuff
guy
like that.
Like with the pad, swat at the ball.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Just like and how you know those Chiefs defenders would.
We'll even leave a pad where in your landing spot so you don't beat up your body. We're just going to practice this because we appreciate you. You had a really good rookie year, but that fumble hurt.
I don't know. Maybe take away the landing pad.
He didn't fumble because he hit a ground doesn't cause the fumble, Sean.
Yeah.
So the point is,
no,
the pad.
It's about sending a message.
Oh, you're punishing him.
Yeah.
I'm using it as instructive. Hey, I'm not punishing him.
The pad won't be there next AFC Championship game. That's
what
I'm saying.
What next AFC Championship game?
Well, the next time. What we're practicing this for. The next time you lose to the Chiefs.
No.
It could be in the division.
Excuse me. Haven't you heard about the Texans? What AFC title game are they going to? It's not going to be the Ravens.
Or is it not going to be the Chiefs?
It'll be the Chiefs.
that's where we draw the line.
Yeah.
It'll be the Chiefs.
Yeah, we could do this hypothetical nonsense that we're doing, but it will be the Chiefs. It will. We got one more segment to go as we wrap up the show. I got to ask this question to Sean. What would he do if he won the lottery? Because a Jamaican man did something that I commend, but it doesn't speak well to what his family is like if he's going this far. We'll talk about that when we come back. Hear the show live as it's going out there, and I hear the music on. I'm like, wait a minute, is that from a previous segment? Nope, that's from this segment. So I had to run back in here.
I was working on something else. I didn't even see that you weren't in there.
It happens.
Normally
it happens.
I'll throw in a 30.
Yeah, understood. We get it. I'm back, and I forgot to tell the story. It didn't come up on the air from 7 to 10, but it doesn't really affect you guys. But I think it's a story you should hear. John Granato, who you know, well, you may not know, he is going to do shows from L.A. and from Houston. He's not leaving. He's not saying goodbye, but he will split his time between Houston and L.A. So, you know, there is not a need for some furniture. Maybe, I think he's going to be like couch surfing with his buddies when he's here. I mean, they have beds, but for the most part, he's just going to be floating between his different buddies' homes while he's here for a couple weeks at a time or so, while the family and by the family I mean his wife Wendy, who used to be the general manager at the ABC station in town, she's got a job in LA doing the same thing. So she's moving, no need to have a home here. He decided to bring some chairs from his home and just drop them off here. All those white chairs out there are John Granato's doing. And, like, I mean, we don't really need all the white chairs, honestly. So he brought them in his F-150, his electric truck that he always talks about. Why didn't he just throw them away? Was there a request made by us for those white chairs to be here?
No, I don't think so.
Well, no, right?
I don't think
so. He just decided to use this as a dumping ground for his furniture.
I mean, we could use more chairs.
But how could we use five? Look how many chairs are in here.
There's six of them.
Yeah, could we use? Now some of these are broken down.
That's why I think if the problem with the Granato chairs,
but not, they don't help the show.
There's no problem with the Granato chairs. Let me get that first. The reason
clean
that
it up.
The reason that the Granato chairs don't help us is that they're not really tall enough to have. In the studio. To use for you guys to sit in.
Or for anyone to sit in the control room with them.
Yeah. So now they're just in the bullpen.
Yeah. Like if
all
we,
six of them.
I mean, I guess they're great for the meeting on Saturday.
True.
So if we have meetings all the time, which we don't.
We should start.
No, we shouldn't.
I think everyone would love that.
There's no one who would love that.
Hey,
not
no,
even the person.
Got a second?
Not even the person planning the meeting would love it. So he just decided, I'm just going to dump six chairs here, and you guys figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess this place is his dump now. There's going to be a carpet in there tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, if he comes with something really nice, I might just
Bring one of those TVs in your homes. You got like 12 of them. Bring one of them. Don't just bring a chair. I'm not exaggerating about the TVs. He's got a lot of them. He had his own media room.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, that's where he watched all the football on the weekends. So if you want to drop a TV off, John, if you're listening,
I'll take one.
We're cool. I think maybe even if you want to give it to an intern or Sean Mapes.
Yeah. What
John's
there?
Like, wait a minute, interns, what about
I
me?
I feel like I should get first. Day.
Yeah, sure. You take top priority over an intern. But he's got enough to hand out to you, a couple interns, someone on the sales side. He's got plenty.
The people on the street.
Yeah, well. I mean, he could have left the chairs on the street, but he brought them up here instead.
They're nice chairs.
They're fine. I just don't know if...
They just don't help us.
They're just they don't help the actual production of any of the shows. They're just going to be sitting out there and empty for 97% of the time.
Yeah.
Because at any point, there are only like two people out there at any point.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
They'll be great on Saturday for the meeting, but other than that, they're going to be useless.
On Saturday for the meeting, they'll be great. I don't know if we ever have a ton of people come
Yeah, maybe intern orientation maybe at some point.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Once. So Once every six months. They're good 2 days out of the year, pretty much. Thanks for the chairs, John. Thanks. We appreciate it. I didn't want to get to this before we go. Maybe John's a bad person in his family, but this gentleman who won the lottery in Jamaica has decided no one can know his identity, mostly because he doesn't want his family to know. And he went to the extent of not avoiding the photo op because the article shows him taking pictures, but he's taking pictures in the Scream mask. I forgot what the killer's called in Scream, but he's taking pictures in that, and he's covered head to toe. So no exposure of his skin, which, you know, I was thinking about this as I was rushing back from the restroom. If you're in Jamaica, the population tends to lean to a certain demographic. Did you really need to cover your hands? Unless he's not black. If he's white in Jamaica, you probably stand out a little bit.
Oh, that's Greg.
Yeah, exactly. Hey Tom, I know those hands. But if you're not,
white Greg.
If you're maybe we would call him white Greg. But if you're black in Jamaica, did you really need to cover up your hands? Who are you tricking if your hands aren't exposed?
I don't know.
Sean doesn't want to speak on it. He's going to let me do it because apparently I can and he can't. It's just a question. I get covering your face.
I get where you're coming from.
The hands are not that easily identifiable. And honestly.
Maybe he has tattoos.
That would be the one reason why I think. That's the one way I'm shooting him some bail. But if you look at the picture, not one part of his skin's exposed.
Also, just to pull off the look. I feel like at a certain point, it's like, if I'm going to do this, let me go all out.
So you are finding a way to make what he did make sense. So it leads me to my question. Is there anyone in your family, you know, who would come calling for money that would even make you consider disguising your identity if you won the lottery?
The problem is, if you win that much money, you really, like, it's not so much your immediate family. It's just everyone you've ever known asking you for money.
You think there are people in your life who just kind of know you who would ask you
not
for money?
Not just kind of know me, but like the extended relatives?
You think a cousin who you don't really see would come asking you for money?
Maybe.
Yeah, you never know until money gets involved.
What if they do? Then what? No, sorry.
Yeah, I say
not related enough. Later.
Yeah, you're too extended of a family member.
To ignore the fact that I gave some other parts of my family money. You don't make the cut.
Yeah, you're not even in my online dynasty. Why am I giving you money?
Yeah. It's also when you win the lottery, it's especially perilous because, and this is why people go broke all the time. You didn't do anything to earn the money.
It's true.
There's no good reason for you to be so precious with it.
It's very true. It's you simply filled out a couple numbers and you won a lot of money. Very true. Very true. I get it. So it makes you less willing to like hoard it.
Yeah.
But some people are like, you know, it's mine. But you don't have any like real standing to go, no, I earned this money.
Yeah, you can't go, no, this is my money. It's like,
I guess. Look, if I didn't want my identity to be known, I'm not showing up for the photo op. Because how does...
I know some states do, and I imagine Jamaica is the same way, where they, like, force you to.
But they force you to for the photo op, but you're in a mask?
I guess. That might be one of those legal loopholes.
They would rather...
You have to come in person to sign
a
document.
Well, sure, but you don't have to... photograph me. I'll show up.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I get coming in person, but they want the photo op. They want it to be public. If I'm disguising my identity, I'm not showing up in a Scream mask.
Do you think he owes his like bookie some money or something? And he's like, hey, listen, I can't have
Once again, there are reasonable reasons why you don't want people to know. But why are you taking pictures then? Why are you in a Scream mask? Why is your whole body covered if you want no one to know? Just don't show up. Don't show up for the photo shoot.
Yeah.
Do all the things you need to do to get your money. Get the bag. I get it.
I do like that state lotteries and Jamaican lotteries make you do the, like, just signed a new deal, fresh new ink. Like, we just extended Trevor Lawrence, and he does the photo op of him signing a piece of paper. Because the article that I saw had a picture of him signing the paper in a Scream mask.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the article right now. And just to close the loop on something we talked about earlier this summer, the room in Jamaica, nicer than the room that Nico Collins signed his deal in. I mean, it's very hard to not be nicer.
Wait, is that Jamaican Drew Rosenhaus?
Jamaican Drew Rosenhaus wouldn't allow his client to sign in that dingy-ass room that the Texans had Nico Collins sign in.
American Drew Rosenhaus, little.
Jamaican Drew has higher standards. We're done. Kalani George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow, because...
We did it!
That we did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.